A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Erevin Lamedvav, Erevin 36b, pagination page 72. We start from the Mishnah, about five lines from the top. We're dealing with Erev Techumen, and what sometimes happens when a person wants to make his Erev Techumen is he's actually not sure which direction from the city he wants to go to. He doesn't have all the information yet. He doesn't know yet if the rabbi that he wants to listen to his lecture or whatever might compel him to go in a certain direction, he doesn't yet know whether the person is to the east or to the west. And he wants to place his Eruv. No big deal to put a peanut butter jar over here and a peanut butter jar over there. But he has to know which one he's actually acquiring. And what we get introduced to over here is a concept called Breira, which is that later on it will be clarified which one I was choosing. So that if you ask me now, as Shabbos is beginning, which direction have you chosen? I don't even know. But I've set myself up that either one is a viable choice. I won't have the information to know which one I chose until later on. Can you do a retroactive clarification? Meaning Shabbos morning, I'll find out which side the rabbi came to, or which side the choir came to, or whatever. And then I'll tell you, oh, so I wanted to go to the east. You see my Erev? It's all lined up. Turns out that it's the Erev to the east that I wanted, even though at the time I didn't know that that's what I wanted.
And you didn't place Eruv.
I put Eruv in both places.
Oh,
I cover
places.
Myself.
Okay.
But I don't know which one I'm choosing. Breira is only a concept in choice. Borer is to choose, to select. It allows you, when and if it applies, to select retroactively. That means at noon of Shabbos, I tell you what my choice was at 5 o'clock Friday afternoon. Even though at 5 o'clock Friday afternoon, I didn't know that that was my choice. Let's begin, and it starts with simple cases and develops. Masna Adam, a person can make a condition al Eruvo regarding his Eruv, meaning he puts one Eruv there and one Eruv there, one to the east, one to the west. Omer, and he says, in Ba'u Nachrim min Mizrach, if the enemy comes from the east, Eruv Lemairov, so then my Eruv is to the west, because I want to be able to get out of here. Now, obviously, if it was a true life-threatening situation, he'd do whatever he has to do. But he's trying to cover himself, like, why not? Why not put an Eruv there, and I'll travel, I'll get out of the harm's way, and he's trying. Min HaMairev, or to the west, Eruv LeMizrach, my Eruv should be to the east, get out of harm's way. In Bo Lekan or Lekan, and if they're coming from both directions, L'makom She'ertza Eilich, whichever direction I choose to go, I should be able to go. Lo Bo, Lo Lekan, V'lo Lekan, if they didn't come from either direction, Hareni Kivnei Iri, then I want to acquire my location where I am with the people of my city. The genius of all these cases is that Erev Techumen, whatever is lenient in one direction, is being stringent in the other direction. In other words, if you acquire location in the city itself, so then you're entitled to 2,000 amma in any direction of the city, east, west, north, or south. If you choose to do your Erev to an extreme west position, that's fine. You'll get 2,000 amma from that west position, but you will no longer be able to walk the distance that you used to be able to walk when you were a resident in the city. Because if you're in the west, then you can't walk that far to the east, because that would be beyond 2,000 amma of your projected location. Likewise, you went to the other direction, you're going to lose the 2,000 amma of the corresponding direction. So this person is choosing east or west, or my current location based on information that's going to come later.
I just thought about it, but or south or north?
The Mishnah doesn't give that example, but that certainly would be the same thing.
What about in between? Northeast, southwest?
You could only acquire your location where you left your Eruv.
Right.
So you could do that. The Mishnah doesn't entertain all the possibilities. You could do any variation you want. But you'll only acquire in a place that's halachically a residence. Right, you're going
to
position your Eruv in a way that's going to benefit you for whatever your goal is. The Mishnah continues with a similar set of examples. In Bachacha min HaMizrach, if the wise person, the rabbi, comes to the east, Eruv LeMizrach, then I want to go to the east. In this case, he wants to go in the direction of the information. Min HaMayrav, Eruv LeMayrav, west, so I want to go west. Balakan alakan, if there's a reputable rabbi coming in either direction, lamakam she'eretz ha'elech, I should be able to choose on Shabbos which direction I want to go. Lo lakan v'lo lakan, if no rabbi shows up within range, hareni kivna iri, so let me stay where I am. And the Mishnah presented here, on the one hand, a case of fleeing from harm, on the other hand, running to an objective, and either way, you could do this concept of Breira of later clarification. Now, the basic principle of Breira of later clarification, as it will develop in the Gemara and the way we paskin, is that we accept Breira when it has to do with a rabbinic law. So it's a little bit more lenient, and we allowed the concept of Breira of later clarification. And we'll see that in Mitzvah Shem on the next daf. If it's a Deoraisa, if it's biblical, then Breira doesn't work the way we paskin. And you can't have later clarification. You have to know up front what it is that you're doing. Another important comment, observation, is the question, what happens regarding the bracha on the Eruv Tehumen? Our Mishnah, the guy is making all kinds of conditions. We're not even sure that either of the Eruvin is going to kick in, because it could be that the rabbi or the event is not going to happen, and he's going to want to retain his residence in his current city. So he's putting Eruvin out, but he doesn't even know if they're going to take effect. And therefore the recommendation is that he does not recite a bracha, because it could be the bracha would be levatala for no reason, which gives us an insight into what's going on over here. It's not that Eruv Tehumen is allowed to be on condition, like intrinsically, and that's all part of the Eruv Tehumen, but rather, you're either doing an Eruv Tehumen and it makes sense to have a bracha, or you're not doing an Eruv Tehumen and it doesn't make sense to make a bracha. You could spend time and compare that, for example, to, I guess, Erev Chatzeros, where people join together with food. Even if no one ends up carrying, it would seem that you recite the same bracha, because the mitzvah was to join with food, even if no one ends up carrying out of their house. Erev Tavshilin, you're making a bracha that I started preparing for Shabbos. That bracha would seem to be valid even if I don't end up eating that particular food on Shabbos, even though you're supposed to and everything. But let's say I didn't eat that food on Shabbos, but I went through the motions, I did what I was supposed to, you would recite a bracha. Over here, the condition is not part of the Eruv Tehumen. You're saying either I'm doing an Eruv Tehumen or I'm not doing an Eruv Tehumen, and therefore it would seem that you do not recite a bracha on what's being presented here in this Mishnah. Yashar Koach, have a great day.